And okay? Hey, I want to give you just a great report from Easter. We had 1,109 people in five services over the weekend. Yeah, we had about 30 people that answered the altar call. People's lives got changed. I mean, it was an awesome, awesome time. And lots of new friends we met and family members we met. It was really great. So thank all of you for coming, for participating, for being a part of it, and for really getting, we're going to get to see the momentum from it. I've been waiting on this moment for about 2 years, really, for Andrew Kabbalah to come and be with us. Those of you that have met Jurgen and Leanne, you've met them. They are the overseers of the C3 Americas. And Leanne's sister is Andrew's wife. So Andrew and Jurgen are brother-in-laws together. And so he's going to probably tell you a little bit more about that. But Andrew has an amazing ministry, travels around the world, preaches around the world. Last weekend, he preached five services in a row. And that's about 10 hours of being on your feet preaching. And so that's pretty exciting. It's seven services for the weekend, I think, in San Diego. And before that, he was in Cape Town, South Africa, preaching for Hillsong South Africa. He's a regular with all the Hillsong guys and ministers, really, in all their churches and all C3 churches around the globe. We're really, really not only fortunate to have him, we're blessed to have him today. He has an amazing ministry, really bringing the presence of the Lord, healing the brokenhearted, healing the broken in body. And I'm really glad you're going to get to meet him because he's a real cool guy, too. Let's give it up. Let's all stand. Give it up for Andrew Kabbalah, Sydney, Australia. Come on, give him a real Dallas welcome.
Amen. Thanks, boss. Thanks, mate. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus and thank him for everything he's done, everything he's going to do. Come on, lift your hands in the presence of God, you know. The Bible says, Psalm 121, verse 1, it says, I lift up my eyes to the Lord, because this is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And I don't know where your help's been coming from, but it needs perhaps to come from God today, that he's able. Let me pray for your miracle today. God, I thank you for those who need a miracle, maybe to do with even finance. Maybe that's the big deal. Sell a house, buy land, or pay a student debt off, or I don't know what would be required. But Lord, your hand is not too short, amen, to do the thing that is required in our lives. Or maybe it's a broken heart that needs to be healed. Maybe there's been disappointment, fear, anxiety around your life. There's, God says, you know, who the Son says free is free indeed. And so we lift. Or maybe it's cancer. Maybe the doctors have said, this is your new forever. You're going to have this arthritis or whatever situation you may they've told you. Nothing personal against doctors. It's just simply not true. The Bible says by his stripes we are healed. It's a new authority. And so we lift our hands. We thank you in advance, Lord. Friends, we don't have to wait till the end of the service. God can heal you now. Everything can change. Everything can turn around. This is the day the Lord's made. You're going to laugh, rejoice in it. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, give God a big shout and a clap. Isn't he good? Oh, that's good. Come on, have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I like Andrew already. Just prophesy that over yourself. You'll be fine. Well, I sure am glad to be in Dallas. It's my first time in Dallas. And I'm excited to be here. I saw somebody wear a cowboy hat and I went, I made it. And it feels good. I was born in New Zealand and there's no snakes or spiders or anything that can kill you in New Zealand. No crocodiles. And so we're good. And you should come for a visit. If you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings, and seen all those mountains and lakes. It's my hometown in a place called Queenstown, and it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. I married Janine, and for some of you, you'll be disappointed that I am married. Joe forgot to mention that, but Janine put a ring on this finger and on this finger, so no matter now how I hold a microphone, people know that I'm married, and she's very insecure, but I look in the mirror, so I know what you've got to deal with, so I don't blame her. I am actually pretty funny, so if you're wondering what's that about, I'm trying to do that. Anyway, I live in Sydney now and been a part of C3 Oxford Falls for the last 10 years, traveling as C3's healing evangelist. I love my job and I'm blessed to do it. But you have got the best pastors in the whole world. Who knows that? Yeah. Pastor Joe and Nancy, incredible. And this is a short time I've met Joe. You know, what I love about it, he's always bragging about you. He loves you, thinks you're awesome, prays for you, and wants you to have your best life now. I love your pastors because, you know, there will be many churches in the world that would not spend a weekend believing for miracles in your life and healing. A lot of churches want to come and deliver a good message. I was brought up Catholic in my family, and at the age of 13, I was diagnosed with leukemia, which is cancer of the blood. And when I was 15 years old, I was traveling through this moment. A pretty girl at school asked me to go to a Presbyterian youth group, and because I liked her, I went, and I got saved, and there's a big story around that. But it's pretty amazing. The doctors later on diagnosed me to be terminal, which means they gave up on me. My Catholic priest came and gave me my last rites, preparing me for burial. Who knows, that's a bad day. That's a flat-out bad day. And but my youth pastors, these Presbyterian youth pastors, came into my hospital room and said, "We believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you and that this is not going to lead to death." And they prayed for me. And immediately, the next blood test, everything turned around. And so I don't think that God's going to heal people. I know God's going to heal people because God healed me. And there's a cheekiness, a different kind of faith, a knowing in your knower, if you know what I mean, like just like God can do it. And that's why I thank God for this church, because oftentimes religion can't heal you. And although I thank God for my Catholic upbringing, that's the best that the priest could do at that time. Just anoint me for oil, preparing me for burial. But your pastors believe that God can heal. There's people in this room believe that things can turn around. The situation that you thought was hopeless is not hopeless. And so I'm excited to be here, and I want to thank your pastors for their friendship and inviting me here. And I hope and I pray that I can be friends with this church for a long, long time to come. But would you help me honor and thank your pastors for their stretch and for their belief in you? Can you clap and thank them? Thank God for them. Thank God for their belief in you. Just quickly, I've got some resources that I wanted to just talk to you about. I've got two lots of our ministries. With Janine talking about that, Janine would be Australia's leading female evangelist as well, seeing together over 50,000 people come to Christ. We average about 198 decisions every weekend that we travel around the world. So 54 people walk out of wheelchairs in the last 12 months. And yeah, most people clap at that point, but feel free, you know. You didn't walk out, so you didn't care. But those people really do care. And it's funny, isn't it, how you know, I won't even go down that path. But if you need a miracle, this is the deal. Surround yourself with the miraculous. Let messages wash over you. Because as good as I am, and what are you here today, you only remember a little bit. But when you hear the stories of the miracles, if you hear the stories of breakthrough, if you hear the stories that keep your faith alive, then it's funny how the Bible says that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not just a moment, but oftentimes a washing over your life. And so anyway, we've got these, and it's going to help you. Let me talk to you about a subject called limitless faith. Everybody say limitless faith. The idea is that with God, nothing is impossible. That's what it says, that nothing is impossible with God. Let me just read a great scripture out to you and the story of the centurion in Matthew 8 and verse 5. It says, when they heard the centurion came and asked him for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies home paralyzed and in terrible suffering, tormented. And Jesus said, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve that you would come under my roof, but speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am myself under authority, and I say to the soldiers under me, go and he goes, come and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Sounds like marriage. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Let's go to verse 13. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you, just as you would believe it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. You know, I love the thought that Jesus is for us. I love that when the centurion said, will you come, there wasn't a hesitation in his life. I love that Jesus wants us to win far beyond that we would even think. That he wants us to heal. He wants us to be saved. And he went, actually, long lengths to do it. I mean, we just had Easter, one of the great moments of our Christian calendar. And you know what I love about Easter is that we celebrate the death of Jesus, and oftentimes we recognize that Jesus died on the cross for our salvation, to take away our sin, a perfect sacrifice in the atonement for what we have done wrong, so that we can come before God spotless. But we forget on the way to the cross, all the beatings, all the whippings, the nails in his hands, the spear in his side. The Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. And so for us as church people, it's easy for us to understand that God wants to save us, and we accept that as a given. But somehow, we kind of think, well, God doesn't really want to heal us, or he's got some weird agenda that, you know, he may or may not, or, you know, if I stand a certain way or wear a colored shirt, maybe that will help. But if we accept salvation, we have to understand that we accept healing, that God wants us to be healed, that there's no limit to what God can do. So where is the tension if God is so willing to save and to heal? Well, we have to understand it in John 10. In verse 10, it says, the devil comes to rob, steal, destroy. The devil does not want you to be healed. He does not want you to be authentic in your relationship with God. He would be more than happy for you to remain the same, lukewarm, backslidden, no power in your life. He does not want you to become a Christian, and he does not want you to be healed. There is a fight for your marriage. There is a fight for your healing. There's just a fight everywhere. That's what the Easter story is all about. Jesus winning the fight. So there's a tension, but God is for us. The centurion is going before a friend who is tormented. It says he's tormented, lying down, tormented. Many people are tormented. Tormentation happens when you lay down for many, many people. It's when you're about to sleep, isn't it? When regret comes into your life. When the feeling of, I wish I hadn't, I wish it had been a different way, that's torment. This man was paralyzed and he was tormented in his mind. I like it because he says to the man, the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof, but speak a word. Everybody say, speak a word, and my servant will be healed. You know, it's true that none of us are worthy that Jesus would come under our roof, and I underscore this again, but by his grace that we become worthy because of what Jesus has done. That's the salvation message. But then he goes further and he says, but if you were to speak a word, my servant will be healed. I like that. It's an unusual thing to say, because perhaps if my 11-year-old son, Jonathan, was sick, Pastor Joe and Nancy were in my house, and I was telling them how my son was tormented and how he was dying of cancer. And Pastor Nancy, because it sounds like she's got more faith than Joe, said, we're going to come and pray for your son, and God's going to heal him. I'm telling you now, I would be excited. I'd be ringing up Janine saying, Jonathan's going to be healed. I'd open the car doors for them, shut the doors. We'd be driving to Starbucks, and we'd be getting a coffee. I'd be so happy that knowing if they'd come, it would work. You know, one thing I'm going to tell you is that there's no way I'm going to say, hey, listen, don't come. Speak a word. Like, no. You're going to come. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though I've read it 1,000 times, I'm not that person. You're coming. Like Jesus, all right, let's go. You know, like, speak a word. Like, why would he say that? Maybe he understood, maybe he heard when he was in the beggars' tents, guarding them, that they heard for the first time that lepers could be healed. Surely they would have heard the stories. Now for the first time, never before could lepers be healed, but now there's a way for them. Limitless, impossible. Maybe they heard the story of the blind man and Jesus spat in the mud, shut the gate. How cool is that? Made little eyeball mud things and put them in the eyes and just did it like that. People going, what are you doing? You know, those detective shows like CSI and things like that, they solve these murders. I'm a detective kind of guy. And when they're looking for the DNA to solve the murder, they go for the saliva, the spit, find the DNA. Jesus spat in the mud, put his DNA in that guy's eyes. Just, you need a little bit of Jesus in your life for a miracle to happen. I digress. Anyway, this guy kind of knew. Maybe he understood that in Genesis 1 verse 3, when Jesus was there in heaven and spoke a word and said, let there be light, and there was. When creation was formed, Jesus was there speaking the word, speaking the animals into being, speaking the waters, the plants, the stars, the planets, everything. And I don't know how he knew. I don't know how he joined the dots. But somehow, the centurion understood if he set it up there, and the same God is standing in front of me now, if it worked up there, maybe it could work down here. And he said, he had a revelation. He said, Jesus, just speak the word. Knowing that the Bible teaches us that our words have power, that our words have the power of life and death, and your words and your thoughts locate you. If I had only spent 10 minutes with you talking about your situation, I'd know exactly what you believe, exactly what you're thinking about. But you can get out of that rabbit hole by reading the Word of God, speaking life into your soul, getting teaching into you that's going to help you, boost you into your brand new day. The Word of God has power. The revelation. He said, I've got a revelation of who you are. And then it says that Jesus marveled. He marveled at him. He said, I don't know anybody else that'd be like this guy. Like, like when Jesus doesn't know the answer to something, that's a bit awkward, isn't it? Like he's supposed to be God, but he was like, I don't even know what's going on right now. Like, I said I was gonna go. And now he's saying, speak a word. You see, before this moment, Jesus had to be in the room for a miracle to take place. He had to put his hand on somebody. There's no word speaking. There's not. He's like, I'm not. Gabriel, come down here. Gabriel's like, yes, Lord. What's going on? They know, Lord. He knows. He knows what? He knows you're God. Shut up. The
first time, there's like an acknowledgement that nothing is impossible with God. God's like, hey. And then it says, as you believed. That's what he said to the guy. As you believed, so it'll be done for you. You know what? Your belief is so important. Your belief. What do you believe about your life? What, you know, the Bible says all you need is faith as small as a mustard seed for the miracle to happen. It's not a whole lot. The very fact you're in church, even in your unbelief, the very fact you're in church is enough for God to do what he needs to do. 90% of us just turning up into the room, I believe that. So he says, as you believed, and his servant was healed that very hour. Man, I just love that. That nothing is impossible for God. Let me read another passage. I'm going to just skip as fast as I possibly can so we can pray for people. But come with me to Luke in verse 8 and verse 44. Listen to this. She came up behind him. See, it doesn't matter how you come to Jesus. You can go sideways or get lowered through a roof. Might be just meeting at a well. Doesn't matter how you come, you just got to get there somehow. And she came up behind him, touched the edge of his cloak. Immediately the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus said. When we all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me. I know it because power has gone out from me. And the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling, fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith's made you well. Whose faith? Her faith. Her faith's made. All right. So, 12 years of sickness. It's a long time. Sickness is costly, friends. If you've been sick, if you had cancer for a few years, I'm telling you, it can cost you everything. It can cost you your marriage, cost you family, friends. Like, it's costly. 12 years of pain. She would have had a special garment saying that she was sick, unclean. And there she heard about the stories. Maybe she heard about the miracles that Jesus had done. I don't know why she came, but she came with a little bit of faith, just a seed. And she would have snuck into the crowd. Not because Jesus wouldn't have touched her or spoken to her, but she would have believed that she shouldn't have even been there. She would have thought that there would be no word for her, that Jesus wouldn't put his hand on her. So what does she say in her heart? She says, I'm just going to touch a garment. So she comes up sneakily and touches his robe. Instantly, she's healed. Jesus freaks out again. He's like, what? This is weird. He said, somebody touched me. The disciples go, you've lost it. Hundreds are touching you. He goes, no, power has gone out from me. You could translate it as this. Somebody believes. He said, who touched me? And he says it again. And the woman comes trembling at his feet. Why is she trembling? Because she knew she shouldn't have been there. She was uncovered. But Jesus didn't embarrass her. He brings her close. He says, Daughter, I understand. Your faith's made you well. She's like, shut up. How good's that? You're not clapping yet. I better do another one. All right. Acts 5 and verse 12. It says, verse 15, as a result, people brought their sick into the streets and laid them on their beds, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. the crowds gathered from around the towns in Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those who were tormented by evil spirits, and all were healed. Oh, man, I like that. Could you imagine that day? Could you imagine Peter walking down the street in his shadow, healing people? He would have been, man, this is outrageous. Do you reckon he woke up that day? Come on, somebody. Thinking, shadow, me and you, we're going to do some business today. You're looking good. You're looking fine. I mean, shadow, have you lost weight? Oh, my gosh. I mean, when he was walking down the street healing people with his shadow, I reckon he would have been getting a bit of a shock. How would this work? Have you ever thought about the Bible, how it works? I mean, what about the first guy that got healed that day? You know what I mean? Like, he was brought by somebody sitting on the street. He's not knowing what's going on a lot. He's just going like, oh man, it's good. Friend, there's no more Jesus, you know that. Jesus can't put his hand on him anymore. He can't touch the robe of Jesus anymore. There's no word from Jesus. But now there's a disciple. We're in the book of Acts. This is the book of the disciples. He's thinking maybe a disciple who's been trained by Jesus, somebody who's been under his shadow for the last 3 years, maybe that would be good enough. Maybe somebody from C3 Trinity who's filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the power of God. Maybe if they put their hand on me, maybe something would happen. Maybe if they believed, brought them to a service, maybe something would happen then. Oh man, Peter is coming by. I can't move. The crowd's too big. 3 p.m, shadow's longest. He's calling out to Peter. Peter, can you see me? Peter, will you touch me? There's too much noise. In desperation, maybe in hope, maybe a seed of faith, he reaches out and touches a shadow. Shut up. Touches a shadow and healing comes into his legs. His bones are alive. Cartilage has been restored. Ligaments, power has gone into his legs. He's turned to his friend. Touch the shadow. This healing in the shadow, another shadow. Touch the shadow. They're reaching out. The Bible says that all were healed. Everyone. Who believed that shadows touched people? Who believed that shadows healed people now? Friends, it says in the Bible that people brought sick people, laid them down so that at least Peter's shadow. Could you imagine people yelling out, touch a shadow? It'd feel a little bit weird, I reckon. But not once you touched it. Not once the miracle happened. What do you believe? What do you believe about your situation? You see, first, there was a word. Then God says, let me just show you something. Now garments can heal people. Now let me show you something else. Let me tell you that shadows can heal people. What he's trying to tell us in all these stories, and I could go on and on and on, that nothing is impossible with God. There's no limit. Nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. You say, well, that's good, Andrew. But you see, some of you have already made up your mind. Well, I'm not coming tonight. I'm not going to bring my dad or my mum. You see, what do you believe? See, if you believe that if they would come, they'd get healed, you'd come. If you believed if you brought them, they'd get saved, you'd bring them. See, it's about what you believe. What's going to shake you out of your apathy? How can we bring this so that you'd believe again? Friends, who bewitched you? Don't tell me there's not a wrestle for your soul, for your family. Don't tell me that the devil doesn't try to convince us that prayer doesn't have power, that coming to church is some kind of preference, that we decide on a whim, that reading your Bible doesn't transform your life. Who told you, trying to sell you those lies? Don't tell me there's not a fight. There's a fight. But as you come into the presence of God, it's amazing how even just turning up is 90% of the answer. Because the Holy Spirit begins to work on our hearts. We give him just a little seed and he says, I'll take it. That'll be enough. That's enough. And then miracle, healing, miracle, healing, miracle. Friends, what we've forgotten is that he's limitless. Somehow, the devil's just kind of put a fog over us. But then we realize nothing's impossible. The hardest hearts can be saved. How do you know that? Well, you come tonight, hear my story. It's pretty big moments in my life. My heart was hard, but God saved me, and he can save our friends. I want you to come tonight. I want you to come tomorrow night. I want you to come believing. I want you to bring somebody. Knock on their neighbor's door. Ring your mum again. Ring your dad. Say, come on. He's a good guy. He's funny. He's from Australia. Everything's just going to be just okay. Before we pray for people, I want to tell you the truth that when I was being interviewed recently on television, the guy said to me, Andrew, how do people receive their miracles? I said straight away. I said, I know that God heals people who are unchurched. I pray for people all the time. But somehow, it just seems to go better if you're on God's side. I don't know why. It just seems to be an ease. I pray for thousands and thousands and thousands of people every year. But it just seems to be that way. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. And so there's a barrier. But when that barrier is removed, it seems to be an ease. We were chatting away about these things. And what I'm trying to say is this. Maybe today you need a miracle. The greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation, but maybe other miracles as well. But what I'm going to say, I'm going to do this probably every service, just so that you know what you're signing up for, so you don't feel like you're going to be embarrassed when your family member comes or whatever like that. I just ask people to do this, not now, but in a moment, because I'm explaining. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. When you close your eyes, isn't it true that your soul and your thoughts are illuminated as everything else kind of disappears? And I want you to ask this question to your soul, am I in relationship with God? And I reckon that's an honest prayer. It's not manipulative, that's just you and God talking. And what I know about that is God will talk to you just like that. Not like perhaps like a burning bush, like an audible voice coming down from heaven, but certainly a stirring and knowing in your soul. When's the last time you were honest with yourself? When's the last time you just looked in the mirror and just said, how am I going with God? And if it's a bit rusty, if it's a bit average, come back. I'm not talking about you missed your quiet time last night. I'm talking about when you look inside your soul, you're lost. It's time to come back. God's not angry or upset. He's not. He's got his hands. He wants you to win, hands open. One day for judgment, that's the day you die. Every other day has got grace to it. God's grace. We live in grace. And while you're pondering that thought, I'm going to pray for you. At the end of the prayer, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord or perhaps for the first time, ask Jesus to come into your life. I just want you to slip up your hand. I see it. See it in the balcony. Even if you're watching online, I want you to do this too. Then we're going to put it down then all together and out loud. We're going to pray a prayer asking God to come into your life. saying sorry for any wrongs. I would like to pray for you also personally, because I think this is a big deal. And to skip past it like it's not, to put no weight on it, would be a miss. So I just want to take a moment just to pray for you and ask God's blessing on your life. So right now, why don't we just close our eyes? For some people, to close your eyes would even be a hard thing, but you can do it. You've come this far. Ponder that thought. Am I in relationship with God? It's an honest prayer. It's you and God just talking. Before some of you even talked, you knew. You actually knew before you prayed. But let me pray for you, God. I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, second time. Maybe visiting from another church and saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God. But if I'm honest, I'm not really in relationship with him. You know, when I was praying early this morning, I felt like there are numerous people here saying, Andrew, I can't have another year like 2016. Something has to shift. Something has to turn for me. And you know that the distance between that moment is God. You're missing that key moment, that key element. Or maybe you're here and you say, Andrew, maybe it is sin, a wrong relationship, a secret sin that nobody else would even know about. But we know that God sees everything. And you need to come back into that relationship with God. Or maybe you're even here and you say, Andrew, you know what, honestly, if I was to face death like you had to as a teenager, if I was to walk out of this church, get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. Fear and uncertainty would surround that moment, but would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship, have an assurance of my salvation? Come on, friends. If you're in one of those categories, I just want you to shoot up your hand just right now. I see that hand, I ask you to put it down. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. The back, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else today? Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Who else today? Say, Andrew, I need to do that. Thank you. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I'm not sure if I should or shouldn't. How do you think the devil's going to come? I told you there's a fight. He's not going to stand before you in a red suit holding a pitchfork like some Walt Disney character. No. He's going to appeal to you. Appeal to your pride. He's going to say, don't you do it. You can do it by yourself. You do it another time. Listen, don't listen to the devil. Not today. Not today. The day of miracles, don't listen to him. Push through. Give God this window. How hard is it to lift your hand and pray? Not hard at all. And if you know that you need to do that today, I'm telling you, this is the day the Lord's made. Give God this window. Give him an opportunity for your family, for your life. Everything can turn around. Everything can change. Come on, friend, one more time. Say, Andrew, I need to do that. Thank you at the back. Thank you. Who else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else today? Thank you, sir. Thank you, the balcony. Thank you. Who else in the front? Thank you. Who else today? You say, Andrew, I need to do this. I'm not going to let the devil win. Not today. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to push through. Push through that fear. Push through that moment. Give God this window. One touch, one word can change everything. Just lift your hand. Thank you so much. Friend, every person that lifted their hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know you should have, just so that I can see, so I don't miss anybody. Would you lift it one more time so I can see? Lift it high so I can see on a count even. I'm going to start my right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Now the balcony, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. At least 29 people, come on, give God some praise in this place today. Hallelujah. I'm so proud of you. As I said before, we're all going to pray this prayer out loud and together. But I'd like to pray for those people down the front. Personally, shake your hand and ask God's blessing on your life. If you're in the balcony, I'll wait for you. I want you to come, slip out of your seats and come down the front. We're all going to stand and come forward. If you're sitting with a friend or a family member, you can turn to them, smile, You got to show your teeth to do that. Say, hey, listen, if you want to come, I'll come with you. That's what a friend would do. So why don't we all stand, give a big, big clap. And for those people who are coming, I want you to come. Come on, come, come, come. 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 If you want to come, come. Let's sing this song. Come. Come on, turn to your friend and say, if you want to come, come. I want you to come. Let me pray for you. Thank you for coming. Come on, turn to your friend and ask them one more time. Do you want to come? Come. I want you to come. If you want to come, come. Let me pray for you. Awesome. So good. Amen. Come on, let's put our hand on our hearts as we pray this prayer together, asking Jesus to come into your life. Everything's about to change. Dear Lord Jesus, pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, we can pray better than that. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I ask you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I give you total control. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin. Because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Today, I am a new creation. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands in the presence of God. Let's pray for these people. God, we thank you, Lord. Your mercy is never ending. Come on, Nancy. Why don't you pray on one end? Joe, pray with us. Because I just want the blessing of God on these guys. Pray the blessing of God, the favor of God in Jesus' name. Everything's about to change. Everything's about to turn around, Lord. Salvation is coming to their house, coming to their life in Jesus' name. Bless this guy, healing in his life in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, right now. The power of God's going to fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 Come on, give a big clap and thank them. So proud of you. Thank you for doing that. And we'd like to give you a Bible or help you in any way we can to make this a long-lasting and effective moment. It's going to last eternity. For eternity, it's a long time. As I'm standing here, I can feel the power of God. And I think there's perhaps a couple of people, maybe a lady or something, specifically I felt like this morning. Maybe you've been in a car accident maybe a few years ago, and you're in so much pain today, even now, you weren't even sure you're going to come to church. But I believe that God's going to heal you. And who is that person? And maybe you got hit by a car or you're in a car wreck or something like that. Who is that person? Can we know? No? Was it, you know, I would pray for you, sir, but you're a man. No, it's not you, is it? No, no. So if it's not you, but maybe you're shy. If you're thinking it is you, well, it isn't me, I'm not sure, I'm waiting. If you're in the balcony, I'll wait for you. Who is that person? Is that person there? Don't come to me afterwards and say that was me. Because it's kind of like, this is like a window. It's a woman. It's a woman. Oh, you are, darling. Are you shy? Why are you crying? I don't know what to do when girls cry. Come here. Were you in a car accident or something?
Kinda.
What's kind of mean?
I fell out of a car.
Oh, you? Oh, darling. Don't be doing that. What's your name?
Connie.
I'm Andrew. This is church. Connie, we're all going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you today. All this pain's going to leave your body. Is your back in pain as well? Where's the sorest part of your back?
Just my down. Neck.
Your neck, yeah. Connie, where's my catcher? You're a bad catcher. Flat out bad. Come and stand behind him. He's only dropped 5 people on the last month. So I'm joking. Listen, God still works with your eyes open, smiling.
That's right.
It's true. But Connie's about to get a miracle. And Connie, I want you to just close your eyes. And not out loud, but just in your head, say, God, thank you for healing me. Say it 10 times over. And the whole church is praying for you.
Yeah, that's right. Fresh touch.
You better pray. I'll come and smack you. Come on. Put your hand out to her. Because one day it will be you or your family member. You want everybody praying. When I'm praying for Connie today, I'm thinking this could be my sister or my very best friend. Connor, you're feeling warmth come into your neck.
Yes.
Here comes the power of God. Everything's turning around. Everything's about to change. Don't fall over, Connie. Not just right now. You don't need to fall down to be healed.
I don't feel good.
It's called healing. You're going to get healed in about 10 seconds, Connie. Just lift your hands. Just like this. Just going to say a couple of things, Connie. It's not personal. I'm just going to tell the devil to go. Father, in the name of Jesus, infirmity and sickness, I bind and break your power. Spirit of pain over Connie's life. Years of pain falling off her in Jesus' name. Healing coming now to your vertebrae, Connie. I can feel warmth coming into your neck, down your spine. Can you feel warmth in your neck, Connie? That's what healing feels like. Down your spine and your hips. Addictions falling off you, Connie. Pain, years of pain, 20 years of pain. I break it in the name of Jesus. Everything's turning around. You're going to see clear. Your sight's been affected, but you're going to see clearly now. Everything's turning around in Jesus' name. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Shut up. Man, that's strong. Get a water for me. What you doing? Are you having a little sleep? Come up here. Connie, come up here. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just bend down a little bit, Connie. Just bend down. You'll notice your neck's a lot better. No. Wrong bending down. No, I know. Don't be naughty. Come up here. Connie, I'm trying to get you healing. This is all a part of it. I'm not trying to embarrass you, not one little bit. But Connie, the pain's gone. Just twist your neck around a little bit. Go the other side. Just go one more time. Go back a bit. Can you feel that warmth in your neck? No, Connie, come back. I have to chase you. Connie, don't. Connie, listen. These are all these beautiful people. They don't know what you're feeling, and they're about to get a miracle. So this is why it's important. The Bible says we overcome the devil by our testimony. Our testimony. And today I saw you put your hand up and then you came forward and now you're getting prayed for healing. Everything's about to change. We should be friends on Facebook or something. Yeah. I'm like, you're so nice. How are you feeling? Tell these people.
Good.
Do you feel good?
I feel great.
You know somebody?
A lot of them. A lot of my family.
A lot of the family. Why aren't we happy that Connie got touched today?
Yeah.
Come on. Amen. Now, there's somebody else in the car wreck. They've been in the car wreck. Who was that person? Are you, there you go. Were you shy? Are you shy? Don't be shy. I'm so not. I'm Australian. I'm a Kiwi. We're the nicest people in the whole world. What? Where's the sorest part of your body?
Actually, now it's my whole head, from my head all the way to my hip, because I had an injury, and it was a long time ago in a car accident, and my hip went out of place, and they put it back, out of place, the bone. And I fell in November, and I hit my head, and I hit my whole body on concrete.
So you're a mess.
My pain's like from 0 to 10 is 10, and on my hip, and I
don't. What's your name again?
Tina.
We're going to be friends. This is going to be good. Nancy, come over here, would you? Now, I would put my hand on your hip, but Janine doesn't like it, especially when the girls are really pretty. Okay? So I let Nancy put her hand on your hip, but I'm going to put my hand on your neck. Just lift your head up like this. Come on. Oh, you're good now, aren't you? Come on, somebody. You're showing off. You got to think that Tina's your friend. This could be your mum. This could be your sister. It changes the way you pray. Stretch out your hands. Tina, just with your eyes closed, not out loud. Where's my catcher? Where is he? Well, you can't catch there, mate. Get up here. You're just safe. That's what I want you to know, Tina. You're just safe. And with your eyes closed, just say, God, thank you for healing me. Say that 1,000 times over. Not out loud. Just so you're safe. We're gonna pray. Okay, here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, infirmity and sickness, I bind and break your power. Come against this spoken word by every doctor and nurse, saying this hip is gonna be this way or that way, saying pain is gonna be in our life for the rest of our life. It's not true. The Bible says by your stripes we're healed. God, we thank you for your healing in Jesus' name. Healing's coming into that hip. Healing's coming into her neck, down her spine, into her hips, her legs, her knees, in the name of Jesus. Here comes the power of God. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. I can feel heat coming through my hand into your neck. Don't fall down, Tina. I mean, you can if you want, but I just have to get you up again. Because we're praying right now. 20 years of pain. Break its power over this life in Jesus' name. You see pain like a shadow falling off you. Years of pain falling off you. Pain in your spirit as well. Pain in your heart. Broken in the name of Jesus today. Everything's turning around. Everything's about to shift. It's all right, Tina. Just stand there for a minute. Tina, here's a piece of God. I can feel healing coming into your bones. You didn't think it was going to happen to you, but your hips healed, Tina. It's just going to be just fine. Your house is going to be a house of healing. People are going to walk into your house and they're going to feel the Holy Spirit. You're going to lead people to the Lord again. Everything's changing. Come on. No, you're fine. Don't worry. Just come over here. Come up here. Stand up here. Come for a walk. Just lift your legs up strong now. Strong, strong, strong. That's about as strong as I've found. That's strong. How you feeling?
Good.
You feel good?
Yes, good. Like this in a long time.
Sorry, what's that? Tina. Stop crying, I can't hear what you're saying.
It
feels good?
Yeah, it feels good, yeah, I'm sure.
That's what we're hearing. When my wife cries, I don't want to do. I just want to hug people. I don't know what I'm going to do. How's your hip? Lift your leg up. Feels good.
Yes.
Tina, how amazing. Now listen. Tina, how long has that hip been sore for?
A long time. I mean, my daughter's now 28, and she was in seventh grade when that accident happened.
Have you seen Mom happy like this?
Well, I can go take her running now.
What's that?
I said I
can
take her running now.
Gotta take her run. Come on. Now listen, Tina. I'm gonna say this a few times. We're gonna close the service in a minute, but every time you think about your problem, you gotta say, Jesus, thank you. Now, the reason for this has got a reason. It's because 20 years of pain, or however long it's been, all the doctors, all the examinations, everything is like voices on your shoulder. And then you've got the devil telling you as well. And then you've got your own thoughts saying, how can this happen in a moment? And so every time you say, God, thank you for healing me, it just brushes off all those thoughts. And one day without pain is going to turn into a week. That week's going to turn into a year, a lifetime. No more medications, no more pain. How good would that be? Good? Good. I like you, Tina. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you one more time. Come on, lift them high. Is a word enough? Is a word enough? If God did it then, He can do it now. God, I pray in Jesus' name. This would be the day that you have made for us. Everything's about to turn. Everything's about to change. Healing in our bones, healing in our life. Our friends, our family members will be saved. This is a time, a season for harvest. Pain's going to fall off people's lives. A miracle. A miracle. Here comes the power of God. Falling. Falling off your life. Pain falling off your life. Sickness falling off your life. Power of God coming. A new way of living. God, we honor you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in this place. Come on, C3 Trinity, we can do better than that. Pastor Joe.
Come on, everybody. Let's give the Lord a real hand, huh? Fantastic. Just a couple of things. Number one, 5 o'clock tonight, come back. Bring a friend. Bring somebody who needs a touch from God. I promise you, you won't be embarrassed. It'll be a wonderful, powerful time for their lives. Number two, if you came to the altar and want Andrew to pray for you, I'm going to ask him to pray for every one of you that are here at the altar that want it, okay? Number three is we have a baptism going on next door in just about 5 minutes. So we're going to be dismissed, and those of you who want to join us for the baptism, be great. Wasn't it today great? Wasn't it awesome? Huh? Just going to get better. Tonight at 5, tomorrow night at 7. God bless you. See you back here then. Come on, give somebody a high five. Tell them I'll see you tonight.